CW Fancast. My name's Emma. Thanks for listening. So it's nice to be back. I feel like I've missed so much, but thankfully I was able to keep up to date with everything that was going on whilst I was on holiday. I managed to watch the games as well, which was great. In particular, the Birmingham game on Sunday, I managed to watch that one by the pool with a pina colada in one hand. But I ended up actually needing to drink something stronger towards the end of that one. It was a pretty intense game. And don't even get me started on the Atletico game, blimey. But yeah, it's been actually really good. So plenty to catch up with over the last couple of weeks. So let's just get on with it. In the week, the official Man City Women's Supporters Club held their branch meeting at the legendary Mary Dee's Bar in Manchester. Special guest on the night was journalist Molly Hudson, who writes pieces for The Women's Game. Molly gave us a really interesting insight into what it's like being a sports journalist covering The Women's Game. So we catch up with her later in the podcast. But first, I spoke with Pam and Anne. Unfortunately, I have to just apologise for the next clip. The conversation that I had with Pam and Anne recorded in quite a large room, and it picks up a lot of noise pollution, if you like, from the room because the microphone is so sensitive. In the future, that won't happen again, because obviously I'll be better prepared for what I need to obviously deal with that environment. But it's a great interview, and I don't want to not use it, because there were some great points that was brought up in the conversation. So hopefully you should be able to just about hear it. Like I said, I do apologize for the quality. It's not something I'm happy with, and like I said, I don't want to not use the interview. If there is something that you've missed or misheard and you're not sure what was said, please get in touch and I will try and summarise it as best I can over social media. So here's that chat with Pam and Anne from the Supporters Club, where we discussed the last few fixtures for Man City Women. Here's what they had to say on what's been really a tough couple of weeks for Man City. On the last couple of games, because obviously we've had a bit of a break in the podcast. So the first game I wanted to talk to you about was the Atletico Champions League game at the Academy Stadium, which was in the week last week. Mm-hmm. You went along to the game.
Yes. Yep.
What did you make of the match?
Very disappointing.
Yes. Very disappointing performance.
Considering that, well, it was 1-1 from the first match, so we were kind of on the up because we got the away goal. I wanted them to push from the start, and they don't seem to be pushing from the start. It's the same with the Birmingham match.
No, they seem to wait until they're down, and then they start to play.
Put up a bit of
really
fire.
Really play, like, you yes. know they can play, but they just don't.
It seems to be a bit of a recurring thing at the moment, in the fact that we're not getting off to good starts of games.
Yes.
Obviously we've got a bit of a break now with the international duty and stuff, so hopefully Nick will obviously take on board some of the problems that we've had, and perhaps obviously we'll have a bit more time to address it within the team. Do you worry about some of the involvement of some of the new players, or are you happy with how they've settled in?
I'm very happy with the new players.
Yeah,
yes.
I think to me, his problem seems to be he doesn't know what his best 11 is.
It's what we discuss a lot. We never know until the teams are next what it's likely to be.
But do you
know he's got squad things in his
yeah.
squad. We haven't got Champions League now, so that takes the pressure off a little bit, the squad thing, but I still don't know what his best team is.
But do you think that's, in hindsight, that could be a bit of a good thing as well? Because we're not having a regular starting 11, that sometimes when the 11 does get announced, you look at the squad and think, well, that's quite a strong squad. So
he seems to be, we both think he's got two fantastic wingers. Well, he's actually got three, because we are playing very well on the wing. Why does he not play both of them at the same time?
Yeah.
And go at teams at speed down the wing? Well, he seems to play one and then when they get tired, just put on somebody else to do the same thing again.
So, you mean, like,
so he's not changing it.
Norway, further two wingers, because he hasn't got Stokes doing the wing back thing at the moment. Like Lucy and Den used to do that, and that was brilliant.
But when to use them and stick, well, you've got Paris.
Paris in the middle, she's good at taking.
Well, we're in the middle.
Yes. Do you think we're really missing Demi at the moment?
Yes. I mean, Abby's great, and she can. She's quite willing to go forward on her own side. Put her on the other way. She just doesn't have the same confidence to push on. So we really is missing Demi coming down on that side.
Yes. So, obviously, it was a very disappointing result. How do you feel about not being in the Champions League now?
I was gutted.
Semi-final for the last two seasons, and it's my first time we played.
Yes. Do you think it is luck of the draw?
I think they got a tough draw.
I think the fact that
Atletico were exceeded.
It's wrong.
It's Barcelona.
They are a very good team.
It's very good team. It used to be the wrong way around.
I think we'll see when they play next.
Yeah.
But I think they were a very good team. They were at us all the time away. And one at home, when they were at home, they were at us all the time. It was a friend.
I mean, for me, one of the standout players for me across both legs was Ludmilla.
Yes,
I think
she was very fast, and her
first game, the first leg, the quality, the finish wasn't so good, but obviously she was rewarded with a goal in the second game.
They just didn't seem to have any idea how to negate her speed. They kept pushing forward so that she could get a ball over the top, and she was in like a shot on them. And they did it time and time and time again. Why aren't you learning? This is what she does. What are you going to do to stop it?
Do you think it could be down to some of the preparation from the Knicks?
Well, in an interview we did after Berman, he said he seems to want them to play really fast and quick passing from the start, but they're not doing it. They don't seem to do it until they go behind.
But I think he
wants them to do play like they played in the second half against Birmingham. He essentially wants them to play like that from the start.
I would have expected from the fact that of how Atletico played, we should have come out in that second leg and had that really quick start and just gone through everything at it. And that was what, in all honesty, I was expecting. And obviously with the team and how we lined up and stuff, I was expecting shots from range, you know, things like that. But it just didn't prevail, did it? It was an unfortunate game. And obviously it's disappointing for us to be out of the Champions League, but the positive with the negative is that, you know, hopefully now it gives us more time to concentrate on the league, you know, and we have sort of pulled our way back up, though from behind, again, like you say, but...
They seem to be shooting themselves in the foot and then start to win. It's crazy.
So, you're better than that. So, next fixture, obviously, we're playing Birmingham away in the WSL. Another top fixture. Birmingham are always a bit of a tough side, especially when they're playing at home anyway. That was the game that you travelled down to. And how was that?
Disappointing again. So disappointing. From how we know they can play, which they did in the second half. But they just seem to go and this is an obsession with
passing the ball back.
Pass the ball back. If you're making a really good beat, do take a shot, do something. Or just, let's hold on to it. And it's not even that they're going back. They came right the way back to the keeper. And then they're going back. You can tell the fans are getting very frustrated by it as well.
Yeah. So how did it feel, obviously, amongst the fans, because I wasn't there, so what was the general sort of overall?
Well, you can hear from the fans.
We stood up this time, behind the goals.
Stayed behind the goal. But you can hear from the fans, you can hear it here as well, that when they go back, you can hear from the
fans,
So it's obviously everybody's thinking the same things. Just go forward.
So how did it feel going down 2-0, did you feel that you could get back in the game? Was it one of those where you just had the lead?
I kind of always feel that they can come back because they've done very well.
Yeah, I'm too much for Christmas.
No, but I do feel that they always come. There's always a chance of scoring a goal.
Yeah. Do you not feel though that we're in this situation too many times and our luck's going to start running out?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we should be nipping this in the bud pretty early and getting those, you know, confident 2-3 goal cushions that we can sort of just relax a little bit.
It's in the previous matches when they scored a couple of goals, and they've not got any against them. They go out in this one 4 and 5. So it seems to lift.
The floodgate opens with it.
It's either one or the other. They go behind and then they lift themselves, or they score a couple of goals and then they start to score more.
I don't understand what that can be doing for the mentality of the team in all the states. But obviously being in that position not just once but twice, 3 times, you know, it must have a bit of an effect on the team, and it must start to think right. What can we start doing now to obviously give ourselves the opportunities in the earlier sort of stages?
They've got good enough players to play well from the start.
We've seen it pre-season. You know, we've seen it early. In the stage of the season. You know, when they come to cup and stuff like that as well. So, like you say, we can do it. It's just what there's something at the minute that isn't quite gelling.
Something's not driving it. There's something missing, whether it's leadership on the part or something is not driving it forward. They just seem to sit back and then go behind.
Frightened of making a mistake and then something is wrong.
That's the thing though, isn't it? We've made mistakes and we've been punished for it. And we can't continue to obviously do that. And it wasn't obviously with Abby's unfortunate. It was
bad.
She probably kicked that ball in that second instant. They knew she'd done the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it happens. It is one of them things, and you just forgive and you just move on. That's it.
Unfortunately,
we're able to come back in the game, but we, you know, it's going to be a long season. Even though we've still got the Champions League, it's still going to be a long season picture. And other teams are proving that they have got the quality to compete as well with us as well.
Oh, yes,
so, do you think that could be a bit of a worry? Or?
Yes, because a couple of years ago, I thought we were going to dominate. But then it's other teams are coming like Reading are really good, and where Birmingham play, Birmingham are like a bogey team a bit. They've got this before, that was last season, didn't they?
So
I think other teams have come up.
Yeah. Of the highlights and everything you've seen so far, who's standing out for you at the moment?
Arsenal are looking very, very difficult to beat. I mean, they're scoring on the front.
Yes, they are.
Okay, they slipped up against West Ham, they got caught. Maybe been a bit too popular. West Ham look like they're going to be a little bit dangerous. They're going to catch some people.
I think West Ham are the kind of team that will grow into the season.
Yes.
Like they'll have more time to play together.
Yeah.
Because they have made some very good signings. You know,
Chelsea are always going to be an issue. Although they've not had a good start. They'll make it up.
They'll
come down.
I think we've got a bit of a mental block with Chelsea.
But the way they started, they're 0-0 at Chelsea. Yeah, I thought it was a really good start to the season.
And it was a good game as well.
Yes.
You know, there was no goals to speak of. It was a very good game.
It was a very entertaining game.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank
Cheers.
You.
Okay.
Hey, I'm good, thank you, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. So just wanted to ask you a few questions, because obviously you've come well, you've come on the train today, haven't you, from Birmingham to be with us tonight, so thank you for joining us. I just wanted to ask you how you got into sports journalism, and in particular writing for women's football.
So it's a bit of a weird one, actually. Obviously, I'm a student at Exeter University, and you know, I've been doing quite well, first categories and all that kind of stuff. And then we're quite lucky at Staffs that we have really good industry connections. I think it's like, out of the 20 Premier League clubs, we've got like 17 of them have got staff students in. And one of our guest lecturers works for someone called Wardle's Agency, and they produce copy for all the national newspapers. And the Times had basically created a roundup section for women's football. Essentially, had no one wanted to cover it, or not wanted to, but I guess didn't have the knowledge to cover it. So I had a quick chat with him and kind of expressed my interest in doing so, and got straight in. Really, my first game was at Man City.
That's it. What was your first game?
It was Ellie Roebuck's first game. Okay. That was the first game. So last season, start of last season. So yeah, it's definitely Man City's kind of become like my second game here. So being so close.
So do you manage to get to the games quite a lot then?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's a roundup piece, obviously you've got to have your eyes on kind of everything within yourself. But I like to go to a game, particularly for quote of the week. It's nice to go in. You know, sit there and have a chat with the manager. I'm quite lucky here because I'm based in Stoke, but this one's a nice one to get to. I know I've had a couple of trips to Kingsmeadow already this season. So yeah, I like to kind of get out there and do it rather than just watch it on telly or whatever.
Can't beat the atmosphere of the football game. I mean, I love, you know, personally, there's nothing better for me than going to a match day, taking it all in, taking in the atmosphere. You can't beat it. So, like you just said, you've gone to quite a few WSL games this season, and the season's well underway. In the games that you've covered so far, what teams and players have stood out for you in particular?
In a funny kind of way, the games I've gone to is where not very many people have done very well. Chelsea have been twice to Kingsmeadow against Brighton. They were better in the second half, and they deserve to win, but I mean, they should be winning against Brighton.
Yeah.
I know I was here for the Champions League game, Man City Atletico. Got to say they impressed me. Ludmilla De Silva had a cracking game. I haven't seen a huge amount of European football, other than obviously English teams, and she really impressed me. I think it was a really, really tough draw to get.
I mean, we were talking about that before, about the two legs, across the two legs, and how Ludmilla had just been fantastic all the way through. And in respect for the performance that she given, she earned that goal in the second leg. It was
from minute one in that second leg to when she came off, she just ran for everything, didn't she? And I think that can be hard to play against sometimes, especially when it's so early in the season, the girls are still kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Chelsea Man City first day of the season, and you could see it was just inconvenient that it was when it was.
Yeah.
I think it would have been so much more. I mean, I was here for the, it was 2-2 last season.
It was.
And it's
some game, that.
Yeah, the difference was incredible, just because the players have been on international break, whatever, they look leggy in the first
game
of the season.
The Chelsea game was pretty reminiscent for me of the Bristol game that we had the other week, just because of like the moments, the times of the game, obviously being down at half time. I mean, we were down to Chelsea at 2-0, but I think Bristol it was 1-0, and then obviously they got that second goal, and it was looking a bit like, well, we really need to dig deep here and get some out of the game, and obviously to come back in that game in the moments that we did, and you know, for Steph to get that goal in the 90th minute or whatever it was just a huge moment, and it just had all the feels of when Georgia Stanway got that second goal in the Chelsea game.
Georgia Stanway is absolutely incredible last season, and I mean, she's not had a bad start for this one, in fact.
No.
I don't think I've seen her have a bad game. She's insane.
Yeah. So what have been your standout moments that you've seen this season, or even from last season?
I've got to say that Chelsea Man City game last season was just the pace everyone went at it, the commitment, the desire. That for those two teams, you knew it was such a big game. And I think when I went to watch Chelsea City on the first day of this season, people were conscious of how big a game it was, and it was, in a way, it was, we don't want to lose, because if you lose, you're 3 points behind, and that's a long way in this league. Because I know there's been a couple of, I mean, Bristol have really impressed early on, and it's one of those where you expect City's, your Chelsea's to win every game, and it's not that simple anymore. You know, the standards rise.
The quality in some of the teams that have obviously come through and you know, improved their sides and things like that. It's not a Chelsea and it's not a City league season. You know, there are other teams in contention. Arsenal, since Joe's come in, he's great. He's a great manager, and you know, they shouldn't be discounted because they're playing really good football, and they're going to be really tough to you know, to get that result from. I mean, we've not had the best start, as you know. I mean, we've struggled, and how, you know, we've been lucky to come away with games with a point or even three. We need to improve, we need to get better, and we've got to up our game if we want to be up there, you know, because they've set the bar, they've shown that they've got quality, they've shown they've got goals.
That's what I think will be hard, because in this league, when a team's ahead, it's so hard to get back onto them, and that's why I think it's hard to look past Arsenal, because of the way they started. I know they haven't maybe come up against anyone incredible yet, they've got the momentum behind them, they've got confidence, and Medina's scoring goals for fun. And you know, if you get your attacking players nice and confident early on the season, that's always going to help you. And you know, I know Chelsea struggled to find a goal for anywhere at the minute.
It's strange, like you said, because you expect Chelsea to get those results, just like you probably would think maybe City would get those results. What do you think's different about this season?
I think, everyone is more competitive. Since I've started, even from last season, like, your rubbish teams are rubbish. And that's a big thing. I think the teams that have come into the league, your West Hams, your Brightons, they're not bad sides at all. I think they'll pick up a fair few points this season. And then you've got like Reading, Birmingham. I mean, they had incredible seasons last season. They've started it the same way this season. And I think, you know, there was a fear, especially coming here, I remember, like, there was a fear where City just had all the ball last season, because people didn't come out and attack them because they thought we were just going to get picked off. Yeah. But teams are now, they're seeing results and they're thinking, well, if they can do it, why can't we do it? And that kind of surreal Chelsea City is kind of, it's going, but it's a good thing for the game, because you get more competitive games. It's only going to help Chelsea and City get better, because, you know, I think that arguably that's why we haven't done so well in the Champions League, because that level is so high. That's why if you're going to play Yeovil, you're going to play Bristol of last season, it's just an entirely different prospect to play, you know, a Wolfsburg or a Lille.
You just mentioned Yeovil. Do you think they'll get some points this season?
I had a really good chat with Lee Birch pre-season. I had a really long chat with him. Went down to Southampton, and I couldn't wish anything better for the club. He's a great guy, he's a great manager, and I hope they get it sorted. But, you know, as he said, he was positive, but essentially they've got an under-23 squad, because this league, unless you've got the kind of money that City, Chelsea, Arsenal, I mean, even Reading have, then you're looking at players that either are very young or have the money to come and play. I mean, there's players in the WSL, well, the Championship, as it's now called, that couldn't go professional, even if they wanted to. And it's just finding that, you know, whether that means Yeovil do end up going down and they find a sustainable, better model for the Championship, or whether that just means it's a growing process and these young girls will grow into it. Because, you know, against West Ham, they weren't far off, and West Ham have proved that they're a good side. I know they're new as well, but, you know, I think there's definitely potential for them to pick up points. Whether that still means they're finished at the bottom is perhaps another matter.
Yeah. So, who do you think will be in contention then for the win this season for the league?
I think it's early to say, but I don't think Birmingham will sustain it all season. A, because they don't have Ellen White, which is a big thing for them, because she's such an important player. And I also think just their squad depth, you're looking at City, you're looking at Chelsea, Arsenal, the squad depth there is going to tell, the quality is going to tell at some point. But, you know, it is, as I said, it's hard to look past Arsenal because of the way it started. And I know, you know, as I say, I spoke to Joe quite a lot last season. He was there for the Continental Cup final. And watching that Arsenal performance was like rolling the years back. He's building something to be an Arsenal side that we haven't seen in a while. And I think he's really serious about it, and I know he's brought a lot of players in that he wanted. And he was big last season saying, look, it's a development process, I haven't been here long, and we're building for next season. Next season comes, and here he is, and they've started off on fire. So I think, you know, City, Chelsea, 100% they'll pick up points. Those games, it's Arsenal will be massive.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for your time, Molly. Let us know what your Twitter handle is so people can follow you if they're not following you already, just to keep up to date with what you're up to.
It's Molly_Bites.
Well, thank you very much. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks to Molly for talking to me the other night at the official supporters group branch meeting. As you can probably tell from the audio, it's always quite a laugh when everyone gets together. If you're not part of the supporters group yet but would like to learn how to get involved, you can message them on Twitter at MCWFC at OFC, so you can keep up to date with everything that's going on with the supporters club, all the latest news and events. So you probably thought the quality of the audio at the beginning of the podcast was pretty bad, and I'd have to agree with you, I do, and once again I do apologise. I spoke to Caroline earlier today, and I kind of put her on the spot a little bit and said, do you want to talk about, because obviously we usually talk every week and we round up and preview upcoming games and whatnot, and obviously now we've broke for the international break. We wanted to just preview the Lionesses games, and obviously Caroline writes blogs for Bitter and Blue, and you know, just thought, right, we'll do it. I'm going to the game on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait. Notts County, it's a ground that I've not been to before. I haven't seen the Lionesses play for, I think it was Bosnia, Warsaw it was, and I remember it well because Steph scored a brace, and there was a moment in the game where there was a penalty, and I remember them, they wanted Steph to take the penalty, but she wouldn't take it, and she wanted the penalty taker to take the penalty, so I think it was Kirby that stepped up and took that one, and yeah, it was a pretty great game, actually. I enjoyed that one, and that was a World Cup qualifier. So, yeah, I love international football. I'm really looking forward to the next few fixtures that they've got planned. It should be really good games. Once again, I can only apologise for this next audio clip. It starts off pretty all right and then it sort of goes downhill, for which I can only apologise for. I promise next week it will be better, much, much better, because I will have more time to prepare. So, yeah, I hope Caroline will come back next week. Because if not, I don't know what I'm gonna do. But no, in all honesty, if anything, I hope it brings a smile to your face, because we had fun and a bit of a laugh while we recorded it. So here's the audio, and enjoy. Hi, Caroline, you okay?
Yeah, I'm alright, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Nice to be back from holiday, you know, usual stuff. Usual. Getting back into the swing of things. So we've had a few, well, I've missed a few games, obviously, with City, but we've already spoke about them with some other fans from the supporters club. So I just wanted to, obviously, get your view on our upcoming games with the Lionesses. We've got two friendlies coming up, the first being on Saturday against Brazil at Notts County, and the second on Tuesday evening against Australia at Fulham. Obviously, a few of our players have been called up, which is great to see. But we've also heard just recently that KB's been sent home with an ankle injury. What do you make of that, really? Like I said, I've not got anything. We're proper just winging this right now, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. I think, and I'm looking forward to seeing, watching them play teams that we haven't played before.
Yeah.
Brazil. It's kind of hard because not many of the players, I don't think, play outside. Obviously, I mean, you've got the obvious ones like Marta and Camilla. I think she's played at Orlando, but I think she's possibly somewhere else now. So it's quite a close-knit group that I don't think we know much about. Obviously, big star is Marta. She won FIFA Best Women's Player for the sixth time. So
yeah.
But I don't think she's just... I mean, she's a focal point for them, but they do have other pinpoint players in that I've heard about. And I think they've recently brought back their old coach. I think they had a woman in charge for not that long, and then they got, I don't know why they got rid of her, but they got rid of her, and then I think they brought in their old coach. But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to watch how Brazil play and see if they can play similar to the men. And then Australia, no Sam Kerr.
No, which is a shame. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching that. But she's not the only one. They haven't bought their number one goalkeeper either, Lydia Williams. I don't know why. Sam Kerr's just re-signed with Perth Glory in Australia, ready for the W League. So I guess she's getting ready for that. Looking forward to watching Australia. Not this year, but the year before. I think it was they won Tournament of Nations, so I think they have the capability to go out there and give us some competition, and I'm really looking forward to watching both teams.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in there as well, you've got Ludmilla, who...
Oh, is she a Brazilian?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder.
Yeah, and obviously seeing her in action over the last two legs of the Champions League, and she's like one to watch for sure. I mean, she was very exciting. You know, on the pitch, she was creating, you know, great opportunities.
Very fast.
Which is the type of player I enjoy watching. So we're certainly having an eye on her on Saturday. And as you said, it is a bit of a disappointment that obviously Sam Kerr was announced that she wouldn't be joining Australia for this set of fixtures, for this international break. So that is a bit of a disappointment, but a great opportunity to see two great teams, and obviously in the future as well. Sweden, you know, just to give us a bit of a feel for the World Cup, and you know, these big fixtures and these big teams, countries that we watch and look at with real quality players as well.
Yeah.
So it is a great opportunity, especially to welcome them to the UK in this country as well. It's fantastic, and hopefully they will be busy and popular, and obviously they're being and they are being shown on BT Sport, which is good and not so good in the fact we would definitely be able to watch it because the red button can be a bit inconsistent with its streams and stuff, but obviously those people might not a few
yeah,
people might
not
have
everybody.
That subscription to be able to watch, which is a real shame. Good and bad points with that one, unfortunately. So you'll be watching both games. Who are you looking forward to seeing? Because there have been a few changes to the squad. I mean, they've brought Siobhan Chamberlain in for KB. We've got Daly in there, and you know, a few familiar faces. Jodie Taylor, unfortunately, has been ruled out as well from injury with a bruised bone, I think it was, or something.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because my partner loves Jodie Taylor. She was really looking forward to seeing Jodie Taylor play. So every time we go, she's always... Jodie Taylor, mad. She was really pleased that she got to see her play at Arsenal before she moved to Seattle. But she's been a great player for Seattle, and they've done quite well, haven't they? So, that's a real shame. But we're looking forward to making the trip down. We won't be going to the Australia game, but we'll be there on Saturday for the Notts County, which is a ground I've not been to before. So. Looking forward to that as well. Who would you put in goal? Because obviously with KB being out, you've got three good keepers there.
Well, I would really, really like him to give Mary the start and the full 90, which I've had set my hopes in him doing that for Kazakhstan, but he took her off for Carly. I mean, it was great that he started her and she was playing. But no, I secretly But no, I wouldn't mind them playing Carly in. And I think it's great that he's put Sue back into the fold, because she'd missed out on a couple. I don't know whether that's because she'd got to championship level, but no, it's great to see Shiv back. But yes, honestly, Mary.
Obviously, with the call up for Siobhan Chamberlain, do you think it's obviously the reputation of obviously being such a well-known name in English football, and obviously the career that she's had for England and obviously in the WSL as well. Do you think it's that that's got her there, or do you think, because what I'm trying to say is, without being disrespectful, she's not been very busy of late in obviously any of these Manchester United fixtures, basically. Yeah. She's not been called into action all that much. I don't know if Phil Neville has actually even been at any of the United games or whatever. So I was just it's great to have her back. You know, she's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't quite know if she's in her place in terms of that call-up and having involvement with those two fixtures. Like you said, it would be nice. I mean, I really respect Carly Telford. Obviously, she's had a bit of a rough time with it of late, and it's nice to see her involved as much as she is at the moment, and that's really great to see. I would love to see her involved and have time on the pitch, like you said, on either Saturday or Tuesday. But Mary Earps, obviously, we've not seen her feature that much for England, but she's, you know, seems to have done really well since moving to Wolfsburg. But unfortunately, again, not really had that as much involvement as perhaps she would have done had she have, you know, stayed at Reading. So, yeah, I'm quite interested to see how that one pans out, to be honest. Phil's already said that he's going to treat the games as if they're genuinely World Cup games and not these friendly fixtures. So that would be great to see how they attack the games and how they obviously, with the build-up and the squad that he puts out and his thinking behind that as well during his comments throughout the next week or so. But yeah, I'm overall looking forward to this next week. It should be quite good. So hopefully we'll catch up and see what happens and report back probably next week, because obviously we won't have another Man City fixture to look forward to for another couple of weeks. So would that be all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine. I can give you the update on the rest of the City players if you want as well, playing for other countries.
You mentioned about Ginny Becky's with Canada.
Yes.
And just remind me who else I've forgotten.
Tess is with Belgium, and me and Nadia are with Denmark.
Right, okay, so they've obviously got their playoffs.
We have youth players out as well.
For the under-19s.
So, yes, we have
two players out. You see, this is it. Because I go on holiday, I can't keep up with what's going on. I've just totally lost complete concept of everything. Right, okay.
There's a U21 camp on, and I have seen, I think Lauren's gone. I'm not sure about Ellie and George. So, we could have quite a few of our youth players within England, whether that be camps or actually playing. So
okay, so was that game played today?
Which one?
The under-19s. Did Jess Park get a hat trick?
They've played two. I haven't actually seen today's result, but the one the other day, they won 9-0. Esme got one, was captain, and Jess got one. But I know for the fact that Jess and Esme both started today, and Esme was captain again.
Right. This is how good we are. We're so up to date.
I just
for the record, it is Thursday night. It is, you know, it's 6 o'clock. So, the game could well still be being played. I don't even have a clue. So that's really good. So you've mentioned about me and Nadia and Tessa all featuring in playoffs, which is obviously big for them at the moment. Is it two semi-finals?
Oh, I don't don't know.
I think we've got semi-final and then obviously they play, then they'll play for playoff place.
Yeah, it's
so,
very interesting to see who gets that because that is four excellent teams.
Yeah.
Brilliant players, that's going to be, that's, yeah.
So it's the Netherlands, Denmark,
Belgium and Switzerland.
So obviously you've got Switzerland Backman, you know,
yeah.
Great player.
Plays for Chelsea.
Yeah, and then. And again, we've got no notes. Literally, we are just winging it.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, when do the playoffs get played? This weekend.
I want to say tomorrow.
Oh, it's a disaster. It's a disaster.
I think it's tomorrow.
Anyway, anyway, right. So Switzerland, Denmark, Netherlands, and Belgium are all playing in the World Cup playoffs at some point over the next week, and we'll let you know how they get on next week.
Yeah.
That's about it, isn't it? I hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the sooner we end this one, the better. Right, it's all good. Thank you, Caroline, for talking to me tonight. It's been an experience. hopefully we'll be better prepared next week. And yeah. Thanks, Caroline.
No problem.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. And that's all I've got for you this week. I think you'll probably be a bit relieved to hear that. it's been a bit of a mare putting the episode together this week. We'll be back to normal next week, and we'll hopefully have some fan diaries from the England game on Saturday, and we'll be catching up with some fans at the game. If you're about, you can always drop us a message on Twitter at MCWFancast. We'd love to speak to some fans going to the game on Saturday to catch your views and opinions on the game, and they can be featured in next week's podcast. If you're not already, make sure you're also following us on Instagram. I'll be updating our Instagram story throughout the day on Saturday, so you can follow what we get up to on the day. And yeah, that's about it. Have a good week and thanks for listening.